Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, we talked about it throughout the week. The dogs barked in week number one with three major upsets. We saw Texas lose outright to Ohio State, LSU strike the victory over Clemson on the road, and Alabama getting abused by Florida State. We see the conference odds entering week number two with the Georgia Bulldogs now having the best price at plus 280 to win an SEC championship. Give me your thoughts about the Bulldogs and potentially some other teams that could challenge this coming season.
You know, I think still most people feel like when it gets to the tough situation, when it gets to the end of the season, the Bulldogs, the Georgia will be there. We've seen so much of them playing good defense and them running the football and them getting themselves much better at the end of the season. I think we all feel that. Although now I think I'm seeing LSU closer to Georgia. You know, now Alabama's jumped down. I'm seeing LSU as being that number two team. And I don't know that I think people have still got Alabama up there really good. But Georgia, LSU, and Texas, although some people are feeling like it's the Texas. Again, they lost to Ohio State by seven. And I'm not sure, like LSU and Clemson, that was too close of a loss for people to say they're out of it. If their quarterback will play better at Texas, they're right back into everything. And I think he will learn from playing on the road in that game. But I kind of think LSU now is the team I'm thinking that jumps up there right behind Georgia or even with Georgia along with Texas. And then there's a distant fourth. I've got Alabama drop down. But still, they're probably in fourth because of the amount of talent if they can correct their mistakes.
I'm in agreement with you. I think right here, right now, and I felt this way throughout the offseason, that Georgia was the best team just from the national championship perspective and from the wagering perspective, that I would say I would want to put my money on the Georgia Bulldogs because of the physicality of the offense and defensive lines. Maybe they didn't have the elite quarterback in Gunnar Stockton like Arch Manning, like Nussmeier, and some of the others in the conference. But what I believed in was the recruiting aspect of Kirby Smart and right. That identity to at least bounce back. What I can't imagine and what I can't basically conceive in week number two is seeing how Texas really couldn't run the football on that front seven in Ohio State, seeing Texas lose last year in two games, one at home to the Georgia Bulldogs and the other in the SEC championship to Georgia after Carson Beck went down, and seeing now in back-to-back games against Ohio State where they failed to step up, and saying that they're deserving of the second best price ahead of an LSU team that walked into Clemson and got the outright victory 17-10.
Yeah, I mean, with Texas, you know, it's not can they run, but will they run? They don't turn to the run. They don't understand, to me, the bigger the game, the more they don't understand. Don't worry about playing close. Just continue to mix the run in with the pass, and you'll be better off towards the end of the game. But I saw that being a lot of what I'm seeing at Clemson as well as Texas. When you get to a big game, all of a sudden you abandon the running game and go to the passing game a little too much. We got 103 yards out of Texas last week. And so, you know, not enough yardage to win a football game like you need to.
I think when you look at Georgia, the biggest thing in their week one matchup and victory, they won but didn't cover as a 38.5-point home favorite against Marshall. To your point, the rushing attack pounded the rock for over 200 yards. We have talked at length that every time Georgia rushes for over 200, dating back to 2016, Coach, they are undefeated at 51-0 straight up. Only had one game last year where they rushed for over 200 and only averaged 132 rushing yards per game. That has to be a bright spot for Kirby Smart entering week number two. What is mindset of Alabama, Coach, entering week number two? Because they are answering a ton of questions, the players, and more importantly, Kalen DeBoer in Tuscaloosa.
Well, right now, they've got to close, circle the wagons and close the doors and don't listen to all the noise, because, you know, I live close enough and I have a lot of family. I mean, I grew up in Alabama's coaching and spending a lot of time. It's a very difficult situation because they have just they don't know what to think. They don't know what to think. And that defensively, that's not the way they're used to playing. And offensively, their quarterback was a little too pedestrian.
But again, they're talented enough that if they can put these things together, you have to say, okay, don't jump ship yet, especially if you're on the player or you're a coach. Keep believing in what you do. The coach has been extremely successful. I mean, he's got to know the fundamentals of what he needs to do. I was really disappointed in their ability to prepare for a Gus Malzahn offense. I mean, he's been doing the same thing for about three decades, and quite often against Alabama from different schools, they weren't able to adjust and have a good game plan there. So I think they're still there, but they've dropped down. I've lost that feeling that they're the same Alabama. You know, it used to be there was this awe of Alabama. I don't think people are in awe right now of Alabama, and they're going to have to come back and do a lot of soul searching, a lot of staying positive. Coaching staff's going to have to do a great job of keeping those kids believing they're Alabama.
They play Sun Belt opponent UL Monroe, your former team. Uh-huh. This weekend, they're a significant home favorite. If Kalen DeBoer, let's say, struggles, and let's say he does go 8-4 or 9-3 and misses out yet again on the college football playoff, he potentially could be out of a job in 2026. It's go big or go home, as you know, in Tuscaloosa. Potentially, could the Tide buy out Kalen DeBoer for that huge number? And is it potential? I saw some headlines, maybe John Gruden potentially has a name circulating, waiting in the wings to be back in the SEC.
Yeah, just think twice before you pull a name out of the NFL without thinking about it and what their intentions are. Yeah, DeBoer, let me say this. Between Bear Bryant, who won six national championships and finished up after the 82 seasons, they went through seven coaches before they got to Nick Saban. If you don't win a championship or play for one within a couple of years, they're looking for somebody else. You're fighting an uphill battle. So right now, he's got to get this team back on course. He's got to get back on course, so they're going to start looking for somebody else, and then it becomes very, very difficult to get the team to believe themselves, to get recruits that you're trying to convince they're going to play for a national championship. You lose that. It does not take very long. Just look at Florida State, how quickly that happened. So it's important that they now pick it up and get it done this year, because at Alabama, they'll go to another coach real quick, unlike other schools. I don't think there's another school in America where you've got the two winningest coaches of all time by a long shot, and you've got to be one of the other. You've got to be Bear Bryant or Nick Saban, or you're not going to make it there very long.
It was their first week one loss dating back to 2001 when they lost to UCLA in Tuscaloosa. I think if we're looking for a measuring stick from week one to week two, Coach, it's got to be on the defensive side of the ball. Ty Simpson collided it up this weekend against UL Monroe, but that defense better make a statement against the Warhawks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You could not play well, and it would be a disaster. You can play great and crush or dominate ULM, and it won't get you off the sly. You're not going to excite anybody that way. It's a very tough situation. You've got to win big just to keep the opposite from happening. Because you couldn't, there's no way you could face it, I don't think, from a standpoint of your fans and all the things that would happen if you get into a tight ball game with ULM. I know I've been on that other side playing teams like this, and it's important for Alabama just to play well, just to get to the next game, because you're not going to make people happy no matter how big you win this week.
We'll see exactly what happens for Alabama and some of the other teams laying large spreads this coming weekend. When we come back, two marquee battles in the SEC this coming weekend. The battle in Norman, John Mateer and Oklahoma square off against Michigan, and then Ole Miss, Kentucky coming right back right here on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week two in the SEC. We'll start with the night battle in Norman. John Mateer and the top-ranked Oklahoma Sooners square off against Bryce Underwood in Michigan. Oklahoma open coach as a 2.5-point home favorite. It's ballooned now across multiple books. Oklahoma 5.5-point home favorite over Michigan. Can the Wolverines win this ball game with a freshman quarterback on the road?
Well, if they can run the football. I mean, when you go on the road and play in Norman, and I've taken two different college teams into Norman, lost both times. It's a impressive place to play, and it will be rocking. You take a team like Michigan into Oklahoma and play in Norman, it's going to be an electric atmosphere, which is going to put even more pressure on the quarterback. Why do you need to run? Because of that. We saw what happened to Arch Manning going into the Horseshoe. Freshman, first big game he's really started. And he played with a lot of he was timid. He was not comfortable, not relaxed. And I could see Underwood coming to this game as a true freshman, as talented as he is, being affected by the glamour, the bigness of the event. And so it's going to be the way you do it. You got to run the football for Michigan, and you got to make sure you make Oklahoma run the football.
When you look at Michigan last week, they struggled at home with New Mexico. They win the ball game 34-17. Bryce Underwood did have a dominating performance through the air, 251 yards. Michigan also rushed for 201 on the ground, but they're going up against a lethal quarterback in John Mateer. Now, Oklahoma did struggle through 2.5 quarters. They turned it on in the second half. Mateer throws for 392 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. If you're Brett Venables, being a defensive mind, right, you know you have the more experienced quarterback playing at home. You want to press a little bit more of tempo, don't you, Coach, to put the pressure on Bryce Underwood to play from behind, just the way they did last year against Jalen Milroe en route to that 24-3 home victory over Alabama?
Well, you know, they've added Venables has added defensive coordinator to his head coaching title. Zach Allen, who was my defensive coordinator at ULM, on to West Virginia from Oklahoma. But Venables, I guarantee, and I was with him a couple of years at Clemson as an analyst, he is going to put pressure on the quarterback, and he's going to blitz him in ways that quarterback has not seen. Remember, they both had teams they felt like they were going to win. We don't really know if we saw what they do or what they wanted us to see. When you're playing a team that you're supposed to beat, and you've got a big one in game two, you're playing games a little bit in that first game, and we're not sure. I do know this. I've watched Venables. He'll bring a different blitz every game depending on the quarterback. He is going to present problems for Underwood in the passing game or in protection that he's never seen before. And that's what he likes to blitz out of the safeties. He'll come off the end. He'll bring linebackers. He'll do it a little different every game. He'll have something schemed up. So Michigan must run that football to keep the pressure off that freshman quarterback.
You saw Bryce Underwood last week, only 2 carries, minus 5 yards. If there is an added wrinkle, maybe it does happen in the RPO game, because that's where I believe maybe potentially Underwood could be a factor, especially going up against an over-aggressive defense. But I still lean to Oklahoma. More experienced quarterback, defensive-minded head coach in Brett Venables, and the more complete defense, I believe, is in Norman. I think they win this ballgame by double digits. I think we get through the 46.5, Coach. I do believe Oklahoma will be able to score and put the pressure. Do you think it's high-scoring or more of a lower-scoring game under the 46.5?
I don't have a great feel, because both teams – the one thing you know that they're going to have is better defense. Mateer is going to bring a better offense to Oklahoma. But you know what they had last year and what Venables brings to the table? They're going to be a better defense. And Michigan, they played good defense. You got a freshman quarterback that they may be trying to protect. So I don't really have a strong feeling as far as the over is concerned, but I am with you. Oklahoma, I'll take Oklahoma. I think they'll cover. I think it's 5.5 right now, and I've got them winning this football game by over 5.5. I just think the home field advantage, the veteran quarterback, and they brought his offensive coordinator from Washington State. So they're very comfortable in what they're doing offensively. And again, in a game like this, and we saw, again, I've mentioned it earlier, we saw what Arch Manning did as a freshman, not so much a freshman, but as a newcomer, a new starter in a big environment. It's hard to imagine what goes through that quarterback's head, because as poised as they are and as high a recruit as they are, there's nothing in high school that prepares you going into Norman, Oklahoma, and playing against a very good Oklahoma football team.
It should be an electric atmosphere. 7:30 kick Saturday night under the lights. 3:30 kick in Lexington, Coach. Ole Miss opened as a 10-point favorite. We're seeing 10.5s across multiple books. The last four meetings in the series have been decided by an average margin of victory of only 2.5 points per game. We have Austin Simmons and Zach Calzada, the former Texas A&M standout, squaring off in this battle. I know you like Ole Miss, but I actually think Kentucky could be live in this matchup.
Well, I mean, because of what Kentucky did to him last time, sometimes teams just match up against other teams. And I think that's kind of where you're coming from. Kentucky and their head coach, they match up well against Ole Miss. And you feel like that should last through another staff. But I really like Austin Simmons. You know, I follow where they were. He was a Pahokee High School player out of Florida. And their quarterbacks, I mean, I had Janoris Jenkins play for me. He was a quarterback and a great defensive back in the NFL. Anquan Boldin, my brother, had him from Pahokee. Great quarterback in high school. This kid started as a ninth grader at Pahokee. Great talent, I think. And they're coming in under the radar. Nobody's expecting a whole lot out of Ole Miss. The quarterback, nobody's ever really heard of because Jackson Dart was such a big name, and they had so many players. They were so ranked. I just think Ole Miss, and I know I've coached against Lane Kiffin. He scored. He put 3 touchdowns on that Georgia State team last week just because he wanted to. And he's done that to me when I was at Akron. I coached against him in a bowl game. They were better, and they piled it on. If he has a chance, he was embarrassed last year. It ruined his season. I'm going with the over, and I'm going with the points. I think they will come out and shine.
We'll come back. We'll break down more of Ole Miss and Kentucky. Look at some of the other games in the conference right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, taking a look at week number 2. We left off in the battle in Lexington. Ole Miss now a 10.5-point road favorite over Mark Stoops and Zach Calzada, the starting quarterback for Kentucky. Coach, I want to take a look at the total, 51.5. Last year, it was a lower-scoring game. Kentucky got the win outright as a 16.5-point underdog in the Grove. They knocked out Jackson Dart, forced some turnovers in that battle. But when you look at Zach Calzada on Saturday against Toledo, only 85 passing yards in that home win. He's going to need a better effort going up against Austin Simmons and that high-powered Ole Miss offense.
Yeah, they had a hard time with Toledo. Now, Toledo, again, I coach in the MAC. They are really one of the elite teams in the MAC. And, I mean, they beat Mississippi State last year. They beat Pittsburgh in a bowl game. It's not a bad MAC team, but still, you would hope at Kentucky they wouldn't have a tough time like they did last week against Toledo, because it's going to be a lot more talent at Ole Miss. But again, the one thing that you have to say is Mark Stoops, he matches up well against Kentucky. He has a good feel for them, and I've seen that. There have been teams I've coached against. I just had a good feel for the defensive coordinator, and I tended to match up well against them and what I did and what they do. And that's Kentucky's hope right now, is that they match up well and they can shut down a Ole Miss team that's pretty talented because they've done well again in the NIL. But again, not sure that's going to happen. Whether the points get big on both sides, I do believe the points are going to get high enough on the Ole Miss side to take that 10-point spread.
Kentucky rushed for 220 yards on the Rockets in the home win. We'll see if they can continue that type of effort. If they can, it'll be an under in the matchup. Coach likes the over and Ole Miss. I like Kentucky to potentially be live in the fourth quarter. We'll see how that game plays out. Battle of in-state rivals, for the most part, we got South Florida. They were a home dog against Boise State, struck the victory 34-7 on that Thursday night primetime battle. They're now significant underdogs in Gainesville going up against DJ Lagway and the Florida Gators. Coach, Florida has LSU on deck in week number three. Potential look-ahead spot for South Florida? Could they be live on the road Saturday afternoon?
Well, I think the one thing that might have saved Florida, because they were definitely a team that could get overlooked with LSU coming up and Florida finishing last year so strong, and DJ Lagway has got them a new confidence in themselves and how good they can be. Long Island did not give them enough of a battle to see what kind of team they are. And they figured they would have a nice game against South Florida before they had to get to their bigger game against LSU. And then South Florida annihilates Boise State, annihilates. And that if anything, that got Florida's attention. Florida better have gotten their attention, that they just can't walk in there and show up. Now, I do believe that, I mean, Boise played bad. Boise did everything you could do wrong and let that thing get out of there to an embarrassing level. But still, a lot of people had no idea. And I was in Gainesville last week, last Thursday. I got to speak to the Florida Gator quarterback club. And buddy, mm-hmm. they are excited about this football team. They're excited about their head coach. This is a lot different than where they were last year. That they, because they won what, their last six regular season games. Once they started Lagway, they started winning. And they have a very, very tough schedule. I believe they're going to win this game. I've got them covering on this game and winning this football game. I don't think South Florida is that good compared to Florida, but Florida's got a lot of football games ahead of them. Especially a week after South Florida with LSU.
What a difference a year makes, to your point, because they wanted to run Billy Napier out of town after that dominating home loss to Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes. DJ Lagway actually saved Billy Napier's job for 2025.
Right.
So we'll see how it plays out. I do believe we get points. I think there's the potential of Byron Brown and DJ Lagway, both mobile quarterbacks, to get over the 53.5.
I lean to
South Florida, but we'll see how that game plays out. The other big battle, Coach, takes place in Starkville. It's a home-and-home series. Arizona State got the home win over the Bulldogs last year. They rolled out to a 30-0 basically first half lead and held on to win and cover that matchup. They're now on the road. They're laying 6.5 points. How do you see this game playing out? Because that Arizona State defense is legit.
Yeah, and their quarterback is legit. Sam Levitt is an outstanding quarterback. Their defense, Big 12 champions last year, they have got a very good football team. Mississippi State, again, struggled against Southern Miss. Struggled in that football game. They're still in a building phase. I don't see them winning this game or staying close enough. And I've got everything on Arizona State this game just because of the quarterback, how good their defense is in, and the kind of year they're expected to have.
For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz. Have a great weekend, everyone.